you want to turn to James chapter number 5, and we'll start again there. I'll go through very quickly what we went over last week and just kind of get a running jump back into this. So, Brother Sanfield, make your way down. I know Dylan, the Morgans, Brother Salee needs one, Brother Mick. Anybody else while they're here? Brother Salee, if you can get him one. So. Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Alex. I do ask you to pray. I've been able, of course, my family's been working on the Milford route, and all of you, I think, pretty much know Josh and RJ, and been able, they've been just so faithful all these years and seen the Lord to really change their lives. And RJ's been able to come out with the boys on the team, and I am going to be talking to his, you know, foster parents and about him being able to come to school next year. And so, but if that works out, I may need some help. So getting some books and a few things. So so if you want to pray about that, and I'm hoping they agree to that, taking baby steps here, but they're letting him come to some things and getting more involved, and I think that would be an awesome thing. And I talked, and he talked to me about it. He really wants to, and he was sharing some things that he's seen in the last few months at the school where he's going to, and he said, it's hard being a Christian, and it is, and you know, and I. And for a young man like that, that's, you know, he's grown so much. I'd love to see him grow some more. And so pray about that with me. And just pray for right now hearts to be softened as we approach that and the Lord's timing there. But really appreciate your prayers there too. So James chapter 5. And again, we're looking at different aspects of prayer. And we're on how to pray for the sick. And we talked about, and I am going very quickly on the first page there, that there's numerous forms of sickness and suffering, as I mentioned in the Bible. We talked about those. Number two, Christians are not exempt from illness and disease. And I gave those different illustrations of men in the Bible that got sick. And in Paul's case, we know he suffered with an eye issue, whatever his thorn in the flesh was. And God did not heal those, but God gave him grace. We know Epaphroditus was sick for the glory of the Lord. Timothy, we had a stomach issue that we know of, and we studied and looked at Trophimus as well. Then we understand human suffering and sickness occurs. Four things. Number one, ultimately, as the consequence of sin. There is sickness in the world because of sin. We live in a sin-cursed world. B, as a result of human frailty. Psalm 39 talks about it. The life is fragile. And the frail, you know, just our human flesh and the frailty that is there. C, as a violation of natural physical laws. In other words, we talked about when we involve ourselves, I hope you do not, and I do not, but in sins of the flesh, it will affect health. We talked about things like drinking and smoking, and you know, you can throw in all the other things that would affect one's health, and you know, being, you know, overweight, being you know, stress, anxiety, and all these other issues that we don't let the Lord have the glory in. It can affect our health. The sins of the mind, and we talked about David's hidden sin affected his health. And how it did that. And also a fourth reason that there's sickness is because it can be from chastening of the Lord. And we said this, that if that is happening, we as Christians will know it. You won't ever have to sit there and scratch your head, all right? If God is chastening us, the Spirit of God will let us know. And prayerfully, that's nothing that we will go through, but should we will know. But the fact is this, we all live in a sin-cursed world, and we're all going to get sick. If you're into the reason, because we all eventually will die. And so we looked at, understand why there's suffering and sickness. And again, I just paused to remind everybody that, you know, sometimes we see, you know, I gave the illustration with my grandpa, a tremendous, you know, Christian, faithful, and he's struggling with a terrible disease. And, you know, but again, he was the first one that said it when he was diagnosed, that he's a sinner. And because of our sin-cursed world and this sin-cursed body, we can expect sickness. Unfortunately, no matter if you're 90 years old like he is or 9 years old, we still live in a sin-cursed world. I wish with all my heart, it's what makes me mad every time you see these lying people about saying they have the gift of healing. Well, then why don't you march down the children's hospital and do your thing, right? But the gift of healing doesn't exist today, and we'll talk about that. But the fact is this, it don't matter if you're a child, teenager. And I've been having everybody praying for Andrew Thompson. He's 24 years old, was faithfully serving God, bus route, just loved God, a great soul winner. And the day we were supposed to go, my Sunday school class on just a few months ago, on a picnic down to Portsmouth. And that Saturday morning, I called to let him know we had to cancel because Miss Phillips passed away that day. Because he was going to go with us. And his pastor said, "You need to pray for him. Something's wrong." And hours later, he's diagnosed with a brain tumor and totally changed his entire life. And is a tremendous young man. Why? We live in a sin-cursed world. But someday, we will put all that behind us. What a day that's going to be. Number four, sometimes sickness and affliction come by divine permission. And we explain that. A, sometimes God allows sickness to manifest the works of God. Remember the blind man that was sitting there, and the disciple said, "Why is this man blind from birth? Is he a sinner? Does parents sin?" And God said, "No, it was for the glory of God, that people might see God work there, to bring glory to God." John 11, of course, Jesus talking about Lazarus, his sickness is not unto death. And 1 Peter 5:10, sometimes we go through suffering and afflictions to make us mature, or to perfect us, the Bible says. Maybe John 15:2, to cause us to bring more fruit, to get us to stop and to let God do some pruning in our life. E, to use us to be a comfort to others. 2 Corinthians 1:4, sometimes we have to go through times where God has to comfort us so that we can learn and be able to comfort others. In Philippians 3:10, sometimes there's sickness and suffering to make Him, Christ, more real to us. And I gave my personal testimony when God did what He did to my back and down for almost 2 weeks, not even able to get myself out of bed at 40 years old. I hated it, had so much to do in August. But at time now, I look back, and it was precious time that God needed me to stop. And He spoke to me and helped me and taught me. And I now cherish that time. And I praise the Lord for it. Number five, we'll continue now. We also know and can be assured that the following things. Now I want you to look real quick in James chapter number 5 and read with me real quick verse number 13. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So in our times of sickness, number five, we also know and can be assured of these things. Number one, that the Lord cares for us. The Lord cares for us. We're real close. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 5 and in verse number 7. And again, I don't read every verse. I encourage you to take these and study them. Read these other scriptures, please. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, "Casting all your care upon Him," and then some of the sweetest verses in the Bible, "for He careth for you." Isn't that a wonderful thing? God cares for us. I say that because sometimes when we get overcome with sickness or a loved one is extremely sick, the devil then likes to whisper in our ear, "Where's God? Where's God?" If God loves you, if God cares for you, why is this happening? And the devil likes to try to cast doubt in these times, but rest assured, the Lord cares for us. B, we can be assured of that all things do work together for good to them that love God. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28 says that exact statement there, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. When we let God work through the situation, God can take and will take every situation and use it for good. Sometimes we may not even see that in our life living on this earth, but the promise of God is true. God is working. Letter C, we can be assured that the grace of God is sufficient for every sickness and trial. Paul learned that, and I trust and pray that I learned the same and you as well. No matter what the sickness is, God's grace is more than able to meet our needs. You know, we deal with all kinds of situations in our church. In the last few years, we've seen all different sorts of trials and situations in our family, with my dad's health, my grandpa's health, Zachary's trials that he's gone through. You know, there's been times that have been rough. But in every situation, God's grace is more than enough. God is wonderful. And His grace is always there. And it abounds. Letter D, we can be assured that our sufferings are but for this present time, and that they will come to pass. Look over in Romans chapter number 8. Let's read this verse, Romans chapter number 8. I think we're more familiar with the others. Romans chapter number 8 and in verse number 18. Romans 8, verse number 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We will go through very difficult times on this earth. But no matter how difficult, it can never compare to how wonderful heaven's going to be and all that God has for us. So we can be assured and know those four things. Number six, God is able to miraculously heal. No matter what the situation is, understand this, God can heal. I don't care what the doctors say. God can heal. It doesn't matter what, you know, diagnosis you've been given. I don't care how terminal it may look. God is in charge. And the fact is this, that when we pray for the sick, which we are instructed to pray for the sick, when we pray, we should pray in complete faith that God is able. I've been teaching some basic Bible lessons on our bus on Sunday morning, and we went through Daniel, and we did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm finishing up Samson this week. I love there in Daniel where the three Hebrew children said, you know, to the king, we're not going to bow. And whether God delivers us or not, but we know He is able. He may choose not to, but He can. And our prayer, when we face different trials, afflictions, sicknesses, no matter what they are, we should pray in the same confidence that my God can do whatever He wants to do. And if God chooses to heal in this situation, He is more than able to do so. If God chooses not to, His will be done. He knows what needs to be. But I know that my God is able. And we serve that God. He is able to miraculously heal. He is the creator and the giver of all life. Job chapter 12, verse number 10. Jesus healed the multitudes. And we could talk about all the different illustrations in the Word of God and all the healings that took place. But I would just point this out. He didn't heal everyone. He could have. He is more than able. And the fact is this, that no matter what, you know, the situation may be it a cancer diagnosis, be it some disease, be it, a tumor or whatever the situation may be, God is able to miraculously heal, remove, change the situation. But at the same time, that may not be his will. And so we have to understand that my God is able. But if God chooses not to, my God is great. And if that's God's will, he has a purpose, and I can trust him. We'll talk about it in a minute. Letter C, the gift of healing was a temporary sign gift. Mark chapter 16, you also read about it in the epistles, that these gifts were to authenticate the preached word of God, and they ceased with the completion of the word of God. Peter and John there in Acts were walking up towards the temple, and a man who had been lame all his life asked for alms. Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he rose up and he walked. He didn't just rise up and he didn't just walk. He went away jumping and leaping and praising God, right? God did a miracle in his life, and God allowed those men to heal and to use them to do that, but that does not exist today. That was to show that we didn't have the completed word of God. It was to be a sign gift to the unbelieving Jews that this was God and this was his working. But when the word of God was completed, the gift of healing was removed along with those same sorts of gifts. So if someone ever says that they have the gift of healing, they're lying. Doesn't matter who they are, how kind they are, it does not exist. And if they want to push the issue, then grab their arm, please take them to the children's and let them go at it. But they're lying. A lot of that is pure trickery and money-making schemes. Some demonic, but either way, it's not of God. So the gift of healing was a sign gift, but understand, can God still heal today? Yes. Yes, he can, but that is a work of God. And today, you know, to me, silly illustration, but the first few plagues there in Egypt, Moses kept doing certain things and these things happened, but before God ever took them out of Egypt, all of Israel had to stop and understand, this is not Moses, this is God. And when they just sat and the blood was applied and God delivered them, there was no mistaking. This is not man's doing, this is God. And God used different men to authenticate the word that was being preached. But when we have that completed, make no mistake, it's God that does the healing. It isn't a man that does the healing. And God doesn't use that gift anymore. Number 7, when we get sick or afflicted, what should we do? And I encourage you to remember these things, and I encourage you to remind me when I go through it too. Because we all get sick. We are going to go through different things in our life, and the older we get, the more trials we're probably going to face. Letter A, what should we do? We should always seek to glorify God through our suffering, sickness, and affliction. Look over in 1 Peter chapter number 4 real quick. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Brother Elijah, would you care to read for me John chapter number 21, if you'll read that. Brother Jordan, can I give you 1 Corinthians 10:31? But we will read 1 Peter chapter number 4, and in verse number 16, we should always seek to glorify God through our suffering, sickness, and afflictions. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. In John chapter 21, verse number 19. First Corinthians 10:31. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, be it a sickness, a trial, a persecution, a death, whatever we're doing, dedicate it to the glory of God. You may get a bad diagnosis this week. Any of us could in this room. We may get tragic news about one of our children this week. Maybe a grandpa, a grandma, a loved one. Say, how should I react? Well, number one, may we bow the knee and say, God, my desire is that you're glorified through this. If God heals, may he be praised. If God does not heal, may he be praised. That God would take the situation and bring glory to his name. Let it be, we should be asking these things. Number one, if I get sick this week, all right? If you face some sickness, we're kind of focusing in on praying for the sick. If it's me and we get sick this week, you get sick. Number one, are the natural effects of sin just taking their course? Am I sick because I am flesh? 2 weeks ago, almost, I guess 3 weeks ago now, you know, I missed my first Sunday in a really long time for being sick. I got the flu. That was fun. Watched the services. And again, I praise the Lord for all the men of God God's placed in our church. Brother Slee and I both got sick the same weekend. That's like never happened, all right? So we're both out of commission. Praise the Lord. Brother Alexander was coming through town and preached a tremendous sermon. Brother Randy preached that night, did a tremendous job. I was sitting there watching the services, and I praise the Lord for these men. And I searched my heart. But I know, looking at you tonight, God knows my heart, knows I speak the truth here and zero pride, but I know that I wasn't being punished. I know that God was not chastening me for any sin that I was hiding in my life. I searched my heart. And I was able to sit on that couch and know this, I'm just human and I got sick. I was spent too much time at the hospital that week in a nursing home, all right? I got sick. And that's just life. And so we ask ourselves, am I just facing the natural effects of sin taking their course? Number two, am I suffering because of my own neglect or actions? Am I reaping maybe a lifestyle that I have been sowing? Number three, am I suffering as a Christian? Is it a matter of persecution? Number four, is God dealing with me about something? There's the chastisement. And I will say again, if God is, you will know. I've never disciplined my child and the child not understand why he was being disciplined. And I am a terrible father compared to the Father above. And if I make sure I know how to do that with my son, I know that he is far greater than I could ever be in disciplining his children. Number five, what does the Lord want to accomplish through me? You know, maybe we're facing some sickness that we didn't see coming, and we start going through these things, and we say, all right, God, there's no sin that I know of. This is just something that you've allowed in my life. And so we ask ourselves, what would you like to do through this? How can I bring glory to your name? Number six, is he seeking to divorce me from things taking precedence over him? I gave that illustration because I was so busy 3 years ago. You know, Brother Carr had resigned. I was taking all this mantle of school upon me. I wanted to paint the buildings, and I was getting all this stuff done. And I just knew that if I didn't get this stuff done, it wasn't going to get done. And I forgot something. God can handle it. And God had to teach me some lessons in that and remove some pride out of my life, to remove maybe a little overzealous work ethic, I guess. That's probably not the right way to say that, but I was doing more than I should. I was hurting my family. God has ways to stop us and to make us see some things. And so maybe God's doing that. Let us see. We should understand that God can work through, no matter what it is, he can work through, one, the body's natural healing process. God made us with amazing healing bodies. God may choose just to use, you know, the natural way a body heals. I didn't take anything He wanted to give me all this Tamiflu and all this stuff for the flu. I was like, yeah, I'm good. And just suffered my 2 days. My wife did give me all her little concoctions, natural concoctions, which they worked, obviously. All right. So I'm not belittling those. All right, dear. All right. 30 hours, I was back at school, right? They worked, right? But, I didn't take all the prescriptions and do all the, stuff they said to do, I just didn't feel I should at the time. And my body healed. That can happen. God also works through physicians. It's okay to go to a doctor. Luke, in the Bible, was a physician. God used him pretty well. Again, God doesn't have to use a doctor, but God can. I'll just give you this, all right? God gives certain men wisdom that he doesn't give to other people. And they can use it for the glory of God. You know, my son's car has been all messed up. It was a mess, all right? But they figured it all out. I can go pick it up tomorrow. My son didn't even know that. Go pick it up tomorrow. Got it all straightened out. That was way beyond me, all right? I have no idea. They started explaining what was wrong with it. I just said, okay. I have no idea what they said, all right? But I know I couldn't fix it. And that you can rest assured, right? I got an email from Brother Dan Souza that said there is a certain thing that needed to be fixed on our webpage, not just ours, but everyone's. They updated something, and he started listing all this stuff about internet and all these codes and things. And I just hit forward, Chad Schwartz. Hope you understand this. All right, did you get that, Brother Chad? All right, it's on there, all right, waiting for you, all right? Because I have no idea what he wrote, all right? But God gives certain men different wisdom in certain areas. Your doctors, God gives them wisdom. Trust me, you don't want me. Alex, he just had surgery on his wrist. They put a screw in the bone in his wrist. I did not want Jordan Wilson doing the surgery, all right? No offense, all right? God didn't give him that wisdom, all right? But God gives other men that wisdom. So, wonderful. And what I always, anytime I stand at a bedside before a surgery or something, I always pray and I thank God for the wisdom that he has given the surgeons to be able to do this, all right? But God uses doctors, and at times that's great too. God can use medicine. I give you different passages of scripture, different things that you read about, and different oils, figs, and other things that they used in the Bible as medication. You know, it's not a sin to take medication. All right, no one agrees with that. All right, but you're all on it. All right, it's not a sin to take medication. Now, I will say, be very careful. All right, things that control your moods and depressions, and you need to be careful with those. I'm not going to tell you it's not right to take them, that you and a doctor and you pray about it. All right, but I am saying this. Don't mistake a spiritual battle for a physical problem. And a lot of what's going on in a lot of Christians' life is a spiritual battle that can be corrected by getting some things right with God. So pray and search your heart, all right? But again, God can use medicines as well. So can God heal? Absolutely. Could God just use the body to heal itself? Absolutely. He created it. That's amazing. Can God use a physician and a doctor? Absolutely. Will God use medicine? Yes, he will. Say, well, which one gives the glory to God? Every one of them. Because God's the one that created it all right? And praise the Lord for it. D, we should also recognize that strength comes through Christian fellowship. I got to hurry through this, but I'll just say this real quick, all right? A lot of times when people get sick or trials and these hard things, they run away from God. They get out of church. Especially in times of sickness, stay close to the Lord. And stay close to your brothers and sisters in Christ. For whatever reason, many times when we go through difficult things, and I know even church members right now that have been going through some health issues, and because of the health issue, they weren't able to come to church. some of the times. But if we're not careful, we allow that to get us out of church. And then pretty soon we use it as an excuse not to go to church. So I would never do that. Anyone can do that. And if you're sick, if you're puking, if you're sick, if you're contagious, if you physically cannot come, I promise God understands that. God understands that. But God also understands when we are able and we should and we choose not to. But I only say this point because sometimes we allow a physical issue to pull us away, or we get mad because God's not healed us. And we pull away from what we need the most. We as Christians should three things. Number one, always be willing to bear each other's burdens. That's why we take prayer requests. That's why I encourage you to write them down to know to pray for each other. Number two, Romans 12:15, we are to rejoice and to weep with our brothers and sisters. Man, when God heals, amen. We all rejoice together. When there's bad news, we can all weep together. But it's good to have the family of God with you. Number three, to suffer alongside, to be able to sympathize, to stand there, to hold the hand, to pray with. Those are important things. But first and foremost, in times of sickness, we should resort to prayer. James 5:13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. James 5:14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. Now, all these things are great. All these things I hope we'll put into practice. But the most important thing we should do biblically when there is sickness is go to God. All that 2 weeks worth is introduction. I'm going to give you the lesson in 10 minutes. Ready? Follow along real quick. Letter A, how are we to pray generally for the sick? Number one, from the examples of Paul and Epaphroditus, etc., we can say it's not always God's will to heal us from sickness. When we pray, we have to understand God's will be done. And I'll be honest, it's easier to pray that for you than to pray that for me. Now, don't look at me like I'm evil. You're the same way, right? It's easier to pray, God, if you would, heal brother so-and-so of his sickness, but if not, your will be done. That's easier to pray for you than it is to say, God, please heal me from the sickness, but if it's not your will be done. It's easier to pray for others than ourselves, but doesn't mean it's not right. We should pray and understand that God can, but at times he chooses not to. We should pray and ask God to heal and to intervene. In these different passages of scriptures, Matthew 8, John chapter number 11, Matthew 8 is the centurion's servant when he went to the Lord and asked God to work on his servant who was very sick. And God did. He did. John 11, Mary and Martha sent word, your friend Lazarus is dying, please come. And he didn't. And in both cases, he's a great God. And he used both for his glory. However, we can only pray, we should pray, God, please heal, but we can only pray if it be thy will. When I taught through our calm classes, our grieving classes, it's one of the things that really just changed my life through it and others as well, is that the fact that this, sometimes it's God's will that people pass away. And learning to accept that can really help in the grieving process. That this is God's will. We can and should offer comfort to the sick, but be careful how you do it. I wrote those words, Job there. Those are great passages. Job chapter 2, his friends all came and tried to comfort him. Job chapter 16, Job's talking now and he says, your comfort is terrible. I forget his exact words, right? But he said, you are terrible comforters. That's what he said to him. I love that passage of scripture. All right? There's a proper way to comfort, right? See, what do you mean? I'll just real quick on this. Don't ever stand next to someone when they're very sick or a bedside or a hospital visit and tell them, oh, I'm positive you're going to get out of this. Don't lie. Right. Never lie to someone. Never give a false hope. Always speak the truth in love and pray that God can heal. Because he can. But if it be thy will. Letter B, special prayer for the sick. Now back in James, we're wrapping this up now. I've already taught on this about a year ago or so, so we can go through this extremely quick. James chapter 5, verse number 14. We have to understand the context, all right? There's two words used here. One is affliction and one is sickness. In James chapter number 5, look at verse number 14. It says, is any sick among you? Verse number 13, is any among you afflicted? The word affliction is a suffering that it comes from an external cause. Maybe someone's been persecuted, someone's going through a testing from the Lord, whatever the case may be. And the response to affliction is patience and prayer. Patience and prayer. Trust God, pray for God to work. The other word there in James is sickness. Now, ultimately, all sickness is because of sin. That's why there's sickness. I think you understand that. Before Adam ate the fruit, there was no sickness. Sin entered, and when sin entered, it brought sickness. One, you'll see a couple things here. For it says in verse 15, if ye have committed sins. Verse 16, confess your faults. Verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. Verse 20, converteth the sinner in the error of his way in the multitude of sins. The fact is this, sickness is because of sin. It doesn't mean you're involved in some hidden sin necessarily. All right, like I said, when I had the flu, I searched my heart. I wasn't hiding anything from anybody. I wasn't trying to sneak something on God. I did search my heart. But I could lay there praying to God, knowing my heart was clear in this matter. But the fact is this, I was sick because I'm a sinner. I was sick because I live in a sin-cursed world. And so I accept this sickness then, and we already talked what to do. But we go more specific in this passage here. You see the oil mentioned. And again, look there in verse number 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. The elders of the church would be your pastors here. And again, I just point out the person that's sick calls for the elders. And don't ever hesitate. I promise, I have never once, neither has Brother Salih, been annoyed or bothered by someone who is sick asking for prayer. The day that starts happening is the day I need to find some other vocation, all right? Of course, the Bible says, is any sick, let him call on the elders. Of course, let that, you know, call, let the pastor know, let the pastor come to pray. It's a wonderful thing. The Bible talks about the oil here, all right? The oil. Now, I will pause here and say this, all right? We're not Catholic. You know, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, because the devil would like to take my words here, but I think because the Catholics' whole last rite thing, we kind of bought into that a little bit and think, well, if someone's dying, the pastor needs to come say a prayer over him or her. If someone's passing away, nothing special, I can't make that person get into heaven or make the trip a little bit easier. All right. Now, I really think some people just have this in their mind because of the Catholic, all the Catholic teaching, all right? There's nothing magical when Brother Salih comes and, you know, someone's passing away and we know that's happening, all right? I'll pray, God, if you want to turn this around, we know you can, but we're not going to go over and cross our heart and say some special prayer and they guarantee some special trip, all right? That's not in the Bible. And so, you know, I just say that because, you know, I guess I've grown up in the ministry and I've seen this, all right, where we as Baptists, some have taken a lot of this false teaching and made it a little Baptist, but try to apply some of those things that isn't there, all right? No problem calling, absolutely. No problem coming to pray, but it's not a, you know, this person can't die till the preacher gets here. Well, if God takes him home, praise the Lord. All right, does that make sense? No one got mad at me at that statement, right? All right, good, all right? Three of you did, that's not bad, all right, good, all right? But there may be a time for the oil, all right? And what, let's read it. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, why? Some people say the oil is like a medicine, and maybe. Some people say it's like a Jewish custom, and I don't think that that's so much the case. I think it's a symbolic. It is a picture. I think I have it in your notes. Isaiah 61, verse 3, 2 Samuel 14, 2, oil is a picture of joy. Of joy. That's interesting, isn't it? Someone is sick. Why would we anoint with oil? Joy. Because God's going to do one of two things. He's either going to change a situation and heal, and there's going to be joy. Or God's going to remove them from ever being sick again, and there's going to be joy. Secondly, oil is a picture of sanctification or consecration. Everything that was given and dedicated to God was anointed with oil. Many things anointed with oil. And what we're saying many times, you say, do you actually practice that? Well, I find it in the Bible, so yes. I do. Again, I'm not going around and I'm not doing any healing. I think it is symbolic when called upon. And again, the sick calls upon the elder. But when called upon, it's a picture of joy. In other words, I am resting assured that this is God's. No matter what, God's in charge of sanctification and consecration. I am now giving this situation. It is out of everyone else's hands. I will use whatever God gives me to use, but I am giving this, my hands off, this is God's, and letting God work. And thirdly, it's a picture, oil is, of the Holy Spirit, who again, may he search the hearts. May he, being the comforter, give comfort in this time. May he, being the convictor, if there's a sin issue, bring conviction at this time. If I need to be taught a lesson, may he, as my teacher, teach me this lesson. Are you seeing the picture in the sickness of the Holy Spirit? Because one of these things needs to happen, or all of them in my life. But regardless, it's the Holy Spirit's work that needs to happen. And so we are recognizing that need. Number three, the prayer of faith, verse number 15. Prayer of faith says there, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up if he have committed sins. The bottom line is this, I got to be done, and I'll just wrap it up. The fact is this, my friends, when there's sickness, we are to pray. But we are to pray knowing that, and we search why, we give it to God, trusting him. We have full faith, knowing that my God can do anything, but we are surrendered to his will. And I am not giving God an escape there. I'm not putting a loophole in it for God. God doesn't need any of that. I am in no way saying or even hinting towards that. That's just the facts. God can heal, but if he chooses not to, he knows what's best. And I trust him in this. And when we pray, we go through these things, we search our hearts, and should we need, and the Lord lays it upon the heart of the sick to call for the elders, then we do, and we follow the word of God, giving this person in full faith, knowing that God can do whatever he wants to do. He is able. We trust him in it. It is totally his. And through this, may the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit needs to do. And we pull our hands off and say, God, I trust you. Which is probably the hardest part of it all. But the one we have to learn. God's never made a mistake. And he's not going to start with you or me. Let's learn to trust him. Let's pray. Father.